Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for July 3rd, 2009.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS. Advancing science, serving society.
This week, why some people never forget a face, and why the media tell us what we want to hear. But to start us off, Suzanne Bard spoke with a scientist who says dinosaurs may have been less monstrous than we thought.
Imagine a T-Rex, and the word enormous probably springs to mind. But dinosaurs may not have been nearly as heavy as previous estimates have suggested. That's according to environmental physiologist Gary Packard of Colorado State University. He says researchers often estimate the mass of dinosaurs using a statistical model that's based on the mass of living mammals. But Packard and his colleagues recently discovered a major flaw in this model.
The model does not even predict appropriately the mass of the animals in the reference sample, so it can't possibly be expected to provide reasonable estimates for the mass of dinosaurs. If you apply an appropriate method, then you come up with estimates that are considerably smaller mass-wise or weight-wise than the estimates that originally were reported and that have been repeated on numerous occasions in textbooks and other accounts.
He says the finding has broad implications and could revise estimates of the mass of other animals as well.
Thanks, Suzanne. And speaking of ancient life, a newly discovered bacterium from deep inside Greenland's ice sheet may give clues as to what extraterrestrial life might resemble. Penn State University scientists cultivated the bacteria from 120,000-year-old ice samples. Biochemist Jennifer Loveland Kurtze says it took a whole year to slowly thaw out and culture the bacteria, which incidentally are harmless.
We were interested to know how bacteria in particular can live in conditions that humans might consider to be extreme environments.
In this case, the specimen's tiny size, even by microbial standards, may help a lot. It means it doesn't need much to live on and can fit even in microscopic veins of liquid water trapped inside the ice. It's believed that bacteria like these might resemble those found on other planets, where life might be similarly challenging. Next, when it comes to political news, we want to be validated, not challenged. Suzanne spoke to a researcher who wants to know why.
Most major news sources once claimed to be politically impartial. But nowadays, radio stations, magazines, cable channels, and the internet are chock full of partisan coverage. Ohio State University communications professor Sylvia Knobloch-Westerwick and her team assessed the political opinions of a group of volunteers. Weeks later, they gave the volunteers a chance to read online stories with obvious political slants. Tracking software showed that they clicked more on articles that echoed their own views and spent more time reading them. Knobloch-Westerwick says this differed from previous studies, which simply asked people what they read or watched in retrospect, instead of directly recording their online activity.
And the earlier research couldn't show that people prefer messages that confirm their attitudes.
She says that's probably because people like to think they're more interested in opposing views than they actually are.
Thanks, Suzanne. In other news, people with a disorder called prosopagnosia can't recognize faces, sometimes even their own. But what about the opposite? Prosopagnosia researcher Richard Russell of Harvard University had heard from people who said they were abnormally good at remembering faces. Recently, he and his colleagues put four of them through several face recognition tests, and they scored at genius levels. But the volunteers said they don't always tell people that they recognize them.
It makes people think that maybe they're stalking them or that they have a greater interest in them than they actually do.
Although it's a small study, it suggests that face recognition ability may vary a lot more than we thought. And Russell says evaluating that ability could sometimes be useful, for instance, in judging the credibility of an eyewitness. Finally today, Suzanne reports on a small robot that could help secure the world's ports.
Smugglers often use big metal cargo containers to hide everything from drugs to weapons to illegal immigrants. That's why researchers at the University of Sheffield in England are developing a small robot, nicknamed the Ferret, that can look for all these things at once. Project leader Tony Dodd says it'll be about a foot long and come equipped with wheels and a bunch of specialized sensors.
The initial idea is to use magnets to attach itself to the ceiling of the cargo container and then move around dangling sensors down through the cargo, and those sensors will hopefully be able to pick out explosive drugs or other forms of contraband.
Such a robot would be cheaper and more efficient than the bulky external scanners we use now, or even dogs, which can only be trained to sniff out one thing at a time.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we will have, yes, you guessed it, a whole new set of science stories for you. Until then, keep current on the world of science by listening to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. We've got a new story every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. And if you're stumped by a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, you will win a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.